This made the Nairb ruffle. I'm the prefect of this world. There is no higher authority on contracts. You offend me personally with your statements.
I apologize, but as the accused, I am within my rights. If we understood the violation and agreed with it, we would, of course, self-execute immediately.
Ah, said the Nairb, its ocular organs changing shape and retracting somewhat. I understand the nature of your delays now. You believe your bodies will be copied. Perhaps you are awaiting a signal from your fellow criminals that indicates this process is prepared. I will take steps. The Nairb turned to its fellows and barked out orders in its own language, and they squawked back. The translator burbled as it tried to translate multiple inputs, and nothing intelligible came out of it for a few seconds.
Carlos, I said, what are they doing? Turning off our revival machines.
They can do that?
Yeah. My dad worked at the spaceport on Earth, the big one. The Nairb have the power to enforce their decisions. They can turn off any galactic tech we bought from someone else, even our guns.
I was stunned. I hadn't known about that. Perhaps Carlos had learned a few things in life I hadn't. At least he had a better understanding of the Nairbs than I did.
Prefect, Carlos said, trying to politely gain the creature's attention again. Prefect, if I could just...
It is done, said the alien, turning back to us triumphantly. There will be no more of your kind avoiding the reward you also richly deserve.
What you have done is a violation, I said, unable to keep quiet. I ignored Carlos, who tried to shush me again.
We do not violate any rules. It is not in our nature.
You have made a mistake. We did not use combat aircraft to land on this building. We did not kill any Nairbs. We are in conflict with the Saurians only, and we apologize for any inconvenience we might have...
Ha, it is far too late for apologies.
Fine. Let's focus on facts and realities, then.
That is always our way.
You have accused us of a contract violation, I said, trying to control my temper. We have declared our belief. You've made an error. There must be some kind of arbitration.
The Nairbs quieted. Arbitration? You claim the right of arbitration?
I do, I said quickly. There was a fresh round of grumbling from the assembled aliens. I could tell they didn't like what I was saying.
Very well. A stay must be granted in that case.
The Nairb turned and spoke to its fellows, who seemed disappointed. Have you reversed your disconnection of our systems? I asked sternly.
We have.
I demand confirmation. Prove you have done what you say.
The Nairb ruffled anew. You suggest we are lying. Your insinuation is insulting.
I am within my rights.
Your sensory organs can't read our incoming data. How can we prove our case?
Easily enough, said Carlos suddenly. He was smiling, and I could tell that he was finally catching on to my plan. All you have to do is open the front gates so we can see for ourselves.
Grumbling and no doubt cursing our names, the Nairb went to a collection of switches. He organized them into a precise pattern, and the front gates rolled slowly open.
Chapter 20. The battle outside had been one-sided up until this point. Our fellow legionnaires had been driven back to their lifters and were scattered around the spaceport, huddling behind any cover they could find. It had been a while since Carlos and I had been able to observe events firsthand. Apparently, Tribune Drusus had decided the light cohorts weren't going to be able to do the job alone. He'd ordered a cohort of heavy troops to head down to the planet. I gathered by this time the plan had been for the light forces to race from the blast pans to the central terminal and take it by surprise. By using our fastest ground forces, the Saurian guards were supposed to fall without much of a fight. Things hadn't worked out that way. Our lightning strike had reached the enemy, but they had been prepared. The battle had turned into a costly grind,
and the Legion had been forced to commit more forces to the attack. At the same time, the Saurians in the city nearby were mobilizing their own defenders. We learned all this as the gates opened and we were able to reestablish our network with local troops. The puffcrete walls, the distance, and the heat of action had prevented us from surveying current events up until now.
"This is great," Carlos said, looking outside. "They don't even know we are right here behind their lines."
"Maybe they do know, but they don't want to come in here and get blamed for any Nairb casualties." Carlos shrugged.
"Could be. Well, in any case, we've done our part. We can just observe through these viewports until..."
"I don't think so," I said. "When our troops come in hard, I'm going out there." Carlos looked at me like I was crazy. I guess he had a point.
"Why?"
I pointed. He followed my finger and sighed. Two of the Saurian troops were dead at the base of the wall on the inside. They'd been hit by heavy weapons fire by the look of it. But what I was pointing at wasn't the broken ragdoll-like corpses. I was pointing at their weapons, one of which looked undamaged.
"I'll go out there," I said. "Grab that plasma weapon and hose them down from behind. They don't have a lot of defending troops left. If we can nail them while their attention is diverted, we'll save a lot of our people."
"James,"
Carlos said, staring at the thick tubular weapon.
"That thing looks heavy."
I smiled at him. "That's why I need a wingman to help me operate it."
"I knew you were going to say that."
We bided our time. The incoming fire on the walls intensified suddenly, and I knew the attack had to be underway. The Saurians returned fire sporadically, but for the most part, they just hunkered down, clearly planning on nailing our troops when they got in close. One of them finally noticed that the gates were open, and that we were there behind them watching. All my plans went out the window in that moment. I turned to the Nairb prefect, who had lost all interest in the battle and was riffling through contracts on his computer system. I'm pretty sure he was reading up on ours to screw us somehow later on.
"Prefect," I called, "if you want to avoid the death of everyone in this room, including yours, set that translator to let us speak with the Saurians."
"Why would I wish to help you?"
"So you don't die," I said. "The Saurians are coming in here, and there's going to be a fight if you don't..."
"Too dangerous. Not a violation, but a warning to the offending parties will be issued immediately if..."
"Yeah, I know. Just turn on the translator so I can talk to him."
The Nairb hesitated, but then a Saurian in armor loomed at the windows. He peered inside. The Nairb humped his body like a racing seal and managed to reset the device before the Saurian forced his way in.
"Soldier!"
I shouted, hearing the translator hiss and rasp.
"No energy weapons! It's galactic law!"
The trooper had a heavy beam unit aimed at my chest, but I'd made sure to stand directly in front of the masked Nairbs, who were now squawking behind me. I had no doubt they were bitterly complaining about my conduct. The Saurian lowered his gun, but he did not retreat as I had hoped. Instead, he extended a hand-to-hand weapon from each of his metal-covered foreclaws. I'd heard about these weapons. Cesores, some called them. They were like artificial claws of hardened steel. They resembled the killing claws of the Saurians' distant ancestors, and had been used in the past and present to gut an enemy in close combat. Without a word, he charged us. I'm sure he felt confident. He was stronger and larger than us and wearing heavy armor. Carlos and I dropped our snap rifles. They wouldn't be much use in this fight, and a ricochet that killed a Nairb would only seal our doom. I pulled out my combat knife, as did Carlos. Fighting an alien biped and hand-to-hand was a new experience for me. Up until now, everything had been about energy weapons or ballistic weapons. Now it was all about strength, skill, and tactics. Armor counted, too. As there were two of us, the alien took the simplest course. He ignored Carlos and charged me. I guess it made some sense. I had been the one with the balls to talk to him via the translator. Perhaps that had angered or insulted him in some way. I fought defensively. All around me, Nairbs humped away desperately. Desks were smashed and chopped as the Saurian slashed with his two heavy claws. I knew I couldn't cut through his armor easily, so I retreated, watching for an opening.
Carlos trailed behind the Saurian and soon made his play. He lunged in and stabbed the Saurian in the back. Our combat knives aren't formed from normal steel. They're modified and hardened with advanced techniques. The blade didn't just bounce and spark from the armor. It gouged it, leaving a scratch a half-inch deep. Without missing a beat, the Saurian tried to backhand Carlos. It swept back with one claw, slashing the air where he'd been a moment before. But Carlos must have suspected something like this. He darted in, struck, and danced back out of the way again. He wasn't waiting around. The Saurian turned in his direction, perhaps frustrated he hadn't made an easy kill. I dashed in and stabbed, as Carlos had, going for his closest uplifted foreclaw. His counterattack was even faster against me. He almost caught me, whirling back and cutting the air with two vicious strokes. Fortunately, his heavy armor seemed to be slowing him down. He couldn't move as quickly as we could.
"This isn't working, McGill," Carlos complained.
"Maybe we can hit him low at the same time, taking his legs out from under him.
He'll plant those blades in our spines if we try it. And he's got a tail, too, don't forget. That's like a third leg for balancing on these scaly bastards."
The Saurian was intent on me again, marching forward slowly, making powerful slashing motions. Equipment was destroyed as he went.
"Hold on," I said. "Carlos, do you think you can get the transfer flip back to its default setting? I want the Saurians to be able to talk to the Nerbs."
"Maybe."
"Do it. I'll keep retreating."
"Why?"
"Just trust me for once."
"Why?"
"You owe me, that's why."
With a sound of exasperation, he went over and fooled with the settings on the translator. Around us, the Nerbs sounded like a pack of angry, squawking seals. I kept my distance, and was sure not to damage any equipment if I could help it. My plan was simple. All I had to do was get the Saurian to screw up and damage some critical piece of hardware. With any luck, the Nerbs would order him to self-execute.
"I got it," Carlos shouted. "All I had to do was turn it off and on again."
"Fine. Now—"
The alien finally caught me. I simply ran out of stuff to hide behind. Backing and retreating can only work for so long in a cluttered environment. My footing slipped, and one of his blades came flashing in to gut me. I dropped my knife and latched onto his armored arm with both hands. It was like wrestling with a foot-thick snake. The lizard was strong. The other arm was coming up ready to kill me, but Carlos tackled him from behind. The Saurian almost went down, but not quite. Using two thick legs and a tail, it held its feet. But the point of its free claw did stab downward directly into the flesh of a particularly bulbous Nerb. As I thought back on the scene later, I believed that the Nerb had been trying to get itself injured. Maybe it had had enough of this nonsense and had gotten the same idea I had. Or maybe it was trying to save a file at its workstation and screwed up. I was never certain. Whatever the case, blood, like green-black paint, spilled over the floor. The Nerb began keening, even though it was only a flesh wound and a single flipper. The effect on the rest of them was immediate. They all began barking. I could tell the Saurian understood them. I don't know what they told him, but it must have been pretty bad. He lifted up the claw that had damaged a Nerb's flipper and thrust it into a slot in his neck armor. I'd never noticed it before, but it was obviously a weak point in his armor that he knew about and we didn't. Whatever the case, the Saurian dropped dead at our feet. Carlos and I stared. We couldn't believe it.